here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
I just love the moderation of the way you handle the calls.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And speaking of which, feel free to give us a call at 203-333-9422. And speaking of real estate, Governor Lamont bucking a trend of some other communities, deciding that he will, in fact, end the ban on eviction. A 14-month ban on most new eviction cases in Connecticut will end today. Governor Lamont has no plans to extend the moratorium beyond the June 30th expiration date, said Max Reese yesterday, his communications director. Hundreds of millions of federal relief dollars are still available to eligible renters and landlords. And Lamont said earlier this week the ban is no longer needed. Now, you got to remember that we also have a brand new law in Connecticut, and this is going to change everything. And the new law says that if you are going to be evicted, you're entitled to a lawyer. So what we've done, and we've copied New York on this. You remember Gideon v. Wainwright, of course, that seminal constitutional, the case that reached the Constitution, the constitutional case that reached the Supreme Court. And great movie, by the way, starring Henry Fonda. And in Gideon v. Wainwright, the Sixth Amendment right to counsel was found to apply throughout the states as a matter of federal constitutional law, that if you're accused of a crime, you're entitled to defense because we have something called the right to counsel. And the right to counsel has been interpreted under our Supreme Court to mean that if you're accused of a crime, you cannot be deprived of your liberty without the right to counsel, hence the emergence of public defenders. Public defenders are people that defend people that can't afford their own private lawyer when they're accused of a crime. Now, you and I take that for granted in this society. But there are some people who are activists who believe that the right to housing is such an important aspect of stability in society and human beings' ability to live without fear of crime, live without being homeless on the streets, that there has been a movement for quite some time to extend the right to a lawyer to defend you from eviction in a similar vein. Now, nobody is suggesting yet that this is a matter of federal constitutional law. But city by city, state by state, some places are saying that we have decided that we don't want people evicted without knowing their rights. It's as simple as that. And if you're being evicted, by definition, you probably don't have money. Most people who are facing eviction, if they have a little bit of money, they're using it to pay their rent. It's not like they have some money set aside to pay for a lawyer to keep them from being evicted. By definition, most people that are rational will take every last money to try and pay their landlord and stay with a roof over their heads. So the idea is, and the reality is, that most people, this is the majority of people, that face eviction are unrepresented in housing court. Because by definition, they've run out of money. And when they're unrepresented in housing court, a landlord has a lawyer. A landlord's lawyer knows all of the ways in which the system runs. And a landlord's lawyer can and does efficiently evict them with a marshal putting their stuff out on the street if they don't voluntarily. In most cases, they voluntarily leave ahead of time because they know the jig is up and they have to find someplace else to go. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they overstay. Sometimes they have no place to go. Sometimes it gets very ugly. It gets very scary. Oftentimes there are children involved. It's ugly and scary for them. So New York decided a year or two ago, New York City, not New York State, that they would provide legal services aid to people who are facing eviction. And they have taken a pilot program and they've extended it now. The New York City Council said, we're going to do this, which is vastly expanding the amount of people who will get legal counsel and vastly slowing down, from a landlord's point of view, slowing down the time it would take to evict somebody. Connecticut just passed the same law in this legislature just now. Now, I don't know how quickly it's going to take a ramp up of legal services to be able to fill the demand. But what I want you to know is that if you're facing eviction, you should find out whether or not you're entitled to a lawyer to represent you, because you may be entitled to a lawyer paid for by the Connecticut taxpayers to slow down the process. Now, you may not be, but you may be. And over time, more and more people will be entitled to have a lawyer represent them, just like a public defender represents criminals who could be incarcerated. Connecticut has decided in this latest legislative session that it can afford, for how long it can afford this, I don't know. But right now it's decided it can afford to pay for your lawyer to defend you against an eviction. Now, I'll put my lawyer Lisa hat on now. What are the defenses against eviction? Well, one of the defenses against eviction is, Your Honor, I've paid my rent. Well, most of the times you can't say that, right? Most of the times eviction is for non-payment of rent. So then what might be another defense against eviction? It gets harder. But maybe a judge will be, maybe if there are facts to sustain a situation like the place is infested by rodents, the place is infested by mold, there are things that make it uninhabitable, Your Honor. That's why I didn't pay the rent. Whatever. Or maybe it's just the honest reckoning of, I lost my job. I need another month or two to get on my feet. I can't pay my rent. Please don't evict me until I have another place to go. I promise that I will find another place to go, or I will make perhaps a payment plan with you, landlord, because I'd like to stay here. Will you accept some kind of an accommodation? And it's in the negotiation and the settlement that if you are represented by counsel and you are somebody facing eviction, that you might be able to stall and delay an eventual order forcing you to leave. So, as Connecticut is anticipating thousands and thousands more people, because we've had 14 months of a no eviction policy to clog up housing courts, in addition to the general clog up that you can expect with all of these people who were not evicted, who have not paid rent. And believe me, I've heard that not everybody should be deserving of the, you know, the poor victim who couldn't afford it. There are people in this market who have taken advantage of the fact that they knew they weren't going to be evicted and they have had the money to pay the landlord and they've thumbed their nose at their obligation to pay and they haven't paid. We know people that have done that. We know there are people like that. But with the introduction of Connecticut Legal Services to represent people facing eviction, I'm going to tell you that the line is going to be longer, that landlords who want to evict people are going to have to wait longer. 203-333-9422. Joining us now is a very prominent realtor, Darlene Letersky, who operates in most of Fairfield County, but is based in Westport, Connecticut. I've asked her on the show as an expert to comment on this raging real estate market, the statistics of which I've just relayed to you in the last few minutes. Hi, Darlene. Welcome to the show today. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Darlene. Darlene, I reported this morning, I don't know if you saw the Connecticut article, about how all of Connecticut's counties, actually Hartford County outpacing Fairfield County, are so significantly over asking price that in Fairfield County alone in the last 3 months, 49.2% of the sales in our county have actually gone for over asking price. Now, when you hear right. that, does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't, Lisa. You know, last year we saw the same thing because of COVID. People were putting their homes on the market and they were getting four or five multiple offers. And this year it was the same. It was a lot stronger March, April, and May, and slowed a little bit in June for multiple offer bids. But still, I listed a home and it sold full price within 3 days. So it is still a very strong market, but not as strong as it was early spring.
Let me ask you something, Darlene. Are we, and when I say we, I mean owners of homes, are we asking too little compared to our competition in Westchester, Long Island, and New Jersey? Are we perceived as having more value for the dollar than our competitors in suburban Manhattan?
Really, we always have, Lisa. And besides, our taxes are so much lower than they are in Westchester County. and homes. I've met people coming through from Westchester County saying a typical home in Westport, if the taxes are $15,000 in Westchester County, they run around $30,000. So it's almost double what we're experiencing here in most of the Connecticut towns.
And so that $15,000 a year translates to a lot more in carrying costs on a mortgage, particularly at these low mortgage interest rates, which means that the buyer with a certain amount of money can afford to pay more.
And I believe now you can only write off $10,000 so far in your income tax on your local taxes. So that's
true.
A terribly high hit for anyone coming from Westchester County that they want to scale down their taxes here.
Are you seeing the buyers coming from Westchester County? Where are the buyers coming from, Darlene?
New York City. New York, flocking out of New York City. They're telling me that the standard of living is not as good as it was a few years ago, not only COVID, but their standard of living and their lifestyle has changed, and they are fleeing from New York City. We still have them coming from Westchester, but mainly New York City.
Is the buyer today... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the problem now, people are selling their homes and we can't find a home for them to buy because a lot of people are trying to scale down. Say if you sell your house for $2 million, you want to scale down and buy something for $7 to $1 million. You can't find it here. More and more we're seeing that anything under $1 million is gone instantly. So what are they going to buy? That's one of the dilemmas that we're having.
I was going to ask you, because we were told, you know, in the doldrums of this market, which was quite a doldrum for at least 5 years, we're chatting with Darlene Letersky, realtor, 203-333-9422, if you want to ask a question. We were told that millennials weren't interested in renovating, that they were watching everything on HGTV, and if it wasn't brand spanking new, forget about it. Is that still the case?
That is still the case. And that's why we encourage people, when they put their home on the market, to fix everything, have it in turnkey. Usually have it staged. The buyers from New York want it clean, done, and staged. They want to walk in. They don't want to have to call. They don't know electricians here, plumbers or builders. They want it done. So that's where you'll get your highest offer.
That's interesting. Now, when you say staged, does that mean we have to remove our family photos?
Yes, definitely. Take everything off the walls as beautiful as it is. Take everything off the walls, put in a very simple painting, some white furniture. If you don't want to pay to have it staged, go out and buy some very inexpensive furniture just so it's all white and clean.
You know, Darlene, I don't think I'll sell my house.
I'm going through that now. I'm just listing a home. And, you know, I said, well, let's do this, but put white covers on all the beds, and you can stage it easily without spending a lot of money, without changing your lifestyle, but it's all, you'll get the top dollar if you do have it clean and staged.
You know, it's interesting because my house is a throwback to a time where people actually wanted to see a little bit of color. I'm not into the grays. Yeah. It's not my style. It doesn't make me happy. I have to look at color to be happy. And and I love my home. It's a function of individual taste.
And everyone does. And I hate to tell people, you know, you do have to remove things. But if they really want top dollar, they're more than willing to do it. And when you show them all the other homes that you're competing with, every home, almost 9 out of 10, are all done. And then they will look and go, I guess I do have to make some changes. Sometimes it's not severe, but just to make it very clean and nice. And that is not clean and nice, but I meant clean as far as clean slate white and that old gray color they love.
They love. Yeah. I don't like that at all, Darlene. Ugh, it's so depressing.
I know. It's restoration hardware gray. It's like, not another gray house. Not another one.
Right. Right.
But that's what New Yorkers like right now.
Wow. Darlene Letersky, how long have you been selling real estate in Fairfield County?
35 years.
And tell me about how this market compares in 35 years. Is this the most astonishing high demand you've ever seen?
No. In 86, it was very, very strong, and then it dropped for a while. In 2007, it was very strong, and then it dropped for the last, 12, 13 years. But we've had, this is our third very strong market in 35 years. I used to go around when I first got in the business in 1985, and the prices kept going up and up, and I'd say, how can that house be worth $500,000? And boom, it was sold. So I learned quickly that when it's a strong market, you can almost put your house on for whatever you want. And even now we look and people say, well, this is what I want. Well, we have to tell them, you may get it. Usually we have to be realistic. But in this COVID market, if it, say a house, you tell them it's worth $1 million, they say, I really want $1.2 million, they'll probably get $1.2 million. So we have to listen to the homeowner and do what they feel is best for them and their family. But what we're seeing now is if we overprice it a little, they'll get that or a little more.
Wow.
So it's an interesting market. I don't know how long it will last. I don't know if next year things will settle down. They always settle down in September through December. Buyers will disappear a little. Once they get their children in school in New York, they don't tend to come out and buy. So probably in August, things will really slow down. Typically.
And the market in the suburbs is still largely being fueled by young families?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's the lifeblood of a community. So that's good to hear. That's
absolutely
good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah. I will say, Darlene, for me to want to stay, I mean, I love this community. I'm not going anywhere ever, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lifer. I'm not one of these people who moved in to create all kind of demand for the school systems and then leave after the school system. Those kind of people that move into town, and we know who they are. I really resent them. I can't stand them.
Yep. As soon as they graduate, they went out. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's never been my attitude about our community. I like to give to the community.
Good.
It gives more than enough back to me in my quality of life.
You do.
But what I would like to see, and I don't think builders build these anymore, are ranch houses on a piece of land that gives me elbow room and breathing space for my neighbors. I don't see them anymore.
Ranches, Lisa, are very popular now because people are scaling down, and those are the older folks that are scaling down, and they don't want the stairs. So we don't have enough ranches in this town for them. And they've torn down all the ranches in town and all the capes. So they're very few to find.
But for a builder, they're not economical because he can't get the same mass on the same land, right?
No, they need the square footage to get the price, right? Right.
Darlene Laterski, thanks so much for calling in today. We really appreciate it. Where do you do your thing? Let's give you a shout out.
Where do I give with I don't know. Am I allowed to say the company?
Yeah, why not?
Well, it's Caldwell Banker. They're the best in town, I should say, I think. But anyway, thank you, Lisa. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Darlene Laterski from Westport Coldwell Banker. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.